Hi, this is Matt Dixon with Purple Patch Fitness, and welcome to another Purple Patch podcast, a series of educational podcasts focusing on all aspects of performance.
Hi, Matt Dixon here. I want to spend a little bit of time talking about training zones. I employ training zones in all Purple Patch programs, and there are various reasons for this, but it's worth spending 5 or 6 minutes a day just going through why we build training zones the way that we do, and how you should utilize them to ensure that they help you rather than hinder you. What's the role of training zones? Well, the first thing is it should be there to create a common language. I want to be able to ensure that it doesn't matter whether you're a pro athlete, a newbie, really experienced. I want to ensure that we have a common language. As I won't be necessarily on deck with you or right in front of you as you're riding your bike, I want to know that when I write the workout, you understand what is intended and what it should feel like. We can also gain some specificity into that workout by using some training zones. The training zones allow us to get specificity of training intensity, so you're doing the work at the level intended. Finally, training zones allow us to see a little bit of progression, as well as setting race pace or training parameters for you. It's really prevalent or relevant, I should say, in longer events, where we really can say we don't want you to go higher than this heart rate or this power during this event at this time, to really ensure and help us use it as a tool, as a pacing mechanism. Excellent. I gained specificity. I understand the language. I'm ready to go. Let's rock. Not so fast. Let's make sure that we avoid some of the mistakes that are so common with training zones. With the evolution of the training tools, the power meters, the GPS watches that we use in running, heart rate monitors, of course, we now have all of this information out there. And by adding training zones to the mix, it can be valuable. At the same time, it can hinder an athlete's progression. So I want to ensure that you don't make the mistakes. One of the biggest mistakes of using training zones is that athletes religiously stick to the set power or pace without any flexibility or really self-feedback or self-regulation. They forget what training should feel like and just chase numbers. That's a massive mistake, and we want to try and avoid that. The second area that's a really common mistake is that athletes tend to fall into the trap of measuring their training success based on their output. How high of a heart rate can they hit? How much power did they generate? What pace were they running at? These types of things that give you self-validation and some confidence when you see them improve can also be limiting. It ends up making all of your training too hard, and you start to see the recovery or the very important easy workouts to be failures. And that could be a big mistake. Again, we have to understand the intention of the workout rather than just falling into the trap of power or pace chasing. Finally, we actually measure your success by whether your zones improve. Okay, over an athlete's progression, your power and pace numbers may well improve, but ultimately, we measure your performance through your performances on race day. We also have some real key workouts that we will repeat, and we're looking for performance in them to improve. But ultimately, your training zones are there so that you can actually perform the work at the intensity prescribed, and nothing more. They're not there for you to get validation from or for you to seek improvement. Wonderful. You're not going to make the training zone mistakes. Cracking. Well, let's get on to the actual training zones themselves, and let's think about how we build them. A training zone for Purple Patch is always built as an index of three things. These three things interact with each other and make up the whole feeling as well as the actual objective number of the training zone. The first element or key component is perceived effort, or RPE as we would say. This is on a scale of 1 to 10. Most people can feel or understand what a scale of 1 to 10 feels like. This is actually more important, both scientifically as well as in the real world, than people actually give it credit. But RPE is the first element. The second element is power or pace, whether you're riding or running. Power or pace. And the final component is heart rate. The interaction of these three things can provide specificity as well as some of the feedback that you might feel as you're actually training. And we'll use that, and we'll talk about that in a second. Let's go through each of these. RPE, or perceived effort, how it feels. This is really critical. This is the first thing that you look at, because ultimately This provides us with the intention of the interval or the session. This is really what it is. And you can base or you can use this as the reference point for your power or pace as well as your heart rate. Now, heart rate, that's a great measuring tool of metabolic stress. But we have to understand that heart rate is really affected by a variety of factors. So if you just religiously stick to heart rate as a training zone, ultimately, you're not necessarily following the intention of the workout. Heart rate can be affected by heat, by humidity, by hydration, by levels of fatigue. So I never use that as the dominant factor in a training zone. The third element is power or pace. Well, we understand that pace is affected by terrain. If you're running uphill, your pace won't be as fast. If you're running downhill, it'll be a little bit faster. So in a controlled environment on a treadmill or on a track, yes, pace is really relevant, but ultimately it can be affected. Power, on the other hand, is an absolute monitor of work or measurement of work. A what is a what is a what. Ultimately, though, if you have a power zone on your bike, it's only correct if you are not unduly fatigued or tired. And so even though you can get a lot of specificity, and I like to use power zones, and I always use a zone to provide a range rather than a specific number to try and counteract some of the elements of fatigue. But ultimately, you still are responsible to reference back to what should this feel like. Let's dive into the actual training zones themselves. We use 5 training zones. There are many methods to create training zones, but ultimately we try and keep it pretty simple. We don't want to blind you with confusion. 5 training zones. Zone 1 being the easier end, zone 5 being purgatory. You don't want to spend too much time in zone 5, trust me. I'm going to talk through exactly what each one should be. Zone 1 is really your recovery zone. We're not looking to gain fitness here, and really what we're doing is moving blood. It's great for warm-up, it's great for easier recovery workouts, it's great for recovery between intervals. But this is really an intensity that's really at 3 or 4 out of 10. You could go absolutely all day in this. It's not very hard whatsoever. Easy peasy, that's all it is. Zone 2 is the first real endurance zone that we would call it. We call it easy endurance. In zone 2, you should be able to hold a conversation throughout. This is kind of your go all day pace. You might be aware of a little bit of work, and really, at the same time, you should be able to hold a complete conversation with someone. That's a way that I like to represent what that training zone is. Many athletes that do Ironman will perform in the middle or upper end of zone 2 on the bike. Really about a 5, maybe creeping into a 6 out of 10 effort, but it's certainly an all day pace. Let's think about zone 3 now. Zone 3 is what we call medium endurance, and that's really some steady and strong work, but you're certainly nowhere near breathless here. You should be able to answer questions, still maintain a conversation, but a good way to understand what this should feel like is you would much rather that me do most of the talking and you do the answering versus you leading the conversation. There's a good chance then that you're in zone 3. The focus here in these intervals will be building muscular endurance and steady state for extended intervals. Probably about a 6 or a 7 out of 10 effort. So you're certainly getting to do some good work here. Zone 4 is threshold. That's what we call it, threshold. And really what it is a very strong but sustainable effort. This is hard. Make no mistake about it, this zone is hard. But ultimately, it's a hard that you can maintain. You'll still be able to answer questions, you'll still be able to talk, but this is really the first intensity where athletes tend to physically tighten up and physically are really aware of doing work. Your breathing will be elevated, but it won't flow into rapid breathing. This is really key. It's an 8 or 9 out of 10 effort. It's very, very strong. Most athletes in their running will be about a 10K pace, maybe a 40K time trial pace on the bike. The final zone that we talk about is zone 5. This is our power zone. Ultimately, this zone has no ceiling, but it is never an effort or an intensity where you can't maintain form. This zone will be formed above the ability where you can maintain steady state. And the whole focus on the interval is going to have to be right on the task at hand, doing the work. You won't be holding a conversation here. I hope that gives you a little bit of clarity on the training zones. If you need any more help, Plan support at purplepatchfitness.com and we'll help you with all of your answers. Thanks so much. Matt Dixon signing off.